John chapter 13, and let's begin reading there in verse number 2. The Bible says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Peter saith unto, verse 7, Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And then look down to verse number 12. It says, So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." Some would actually practice trying to wash one another's feet, and I really don't think that's what Jesus was teaching them. I believe he made it clear by the statements he made. He was saying, the servant is not greater than the Lord. The servant is not greater than the Master. And I believe he was doing exactly what he said, setting a pattern for them, setting an example. I'm your example, he said. And he said, if even me as your Lord and Master can be willing to stoop to serve you, he said, you ought to serve others. You ought to serve one another. And we know from the scriptures that's entirely what the Christian life is about. It's not about self, it's about living for others. And I believe that that's the example that the Lord Jesus Christ was trying to set for them. I want to preach to you tonight on this very briefly, kneeling to serve. Kneeling to serve. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you now just to guide my thoughts, that I just would say the things that you want me to say. And that, Father, your Spirit would speak to our spirit, to our heart, and convict us and challenge us. And even just strengthen us and renew us in things that we already believe are important. Father, I thank you for many people here tonight that do have such a servant's heart. And they demonstrate that. But Lord, may we always realize that that is what the Christian life is about. And that is what we must be like, to follow the example of our Lord Jesus. And help us, I pray, not to lose that, but just only to increase at it. And to love one another and serve one another like Jesus would want us to. Help us, I pray, this evening. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Jesus Christ is certainly our example. He's our pattern. He's the one that we should follow. The Bible tells us some other places that we're to follow in his steps. We're to walk in the steps of Jesus. We are to follow his example. And I believe Jesus makes that clear to them as well in this story that we read tonight, that his disciples were to follow his example. Going back there to verse number 4, John 13, 4, it said, He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. He was getting himself ready to do what a servant would often do. Here was the Lord Jesus. I mean, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. He was their Master. He was the one that all of them were supposed to be following and serving. But the Lord Jesus takes upon him and starts to maybe set aside his garments and starts putting on the garments that like a servant would wear and girds the towel, ready to do something that a servant would often do for their master. Cleaning the feet of the disciples was a dirty job. A dirty job. And those, you know, everyone wore sandals and so on, and a dirty job to clean dirty feet and so on. And that's what Jesus was willing to stoop to do. But he girded himself with the garments of a servant and girded himself with a towel and so on. And he began to wash the disciples' feet, the Bible says, and to wipe them with the towel. And then down in verse number 12, So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments, was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so am I. What a good statement. Jesus says, you call me Lord and you call me Master, and you do well in that. Ye say well. I am your Lord. I am the Lord, and I am your Master. But he says, I want you to realize something. I want you to see something. Verse 14, If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Listen, if the Lord Jesus was willing to humble himself, to do a dirty job, to serve other people, then shouldn't we humble ourselves? Sometimes in life you come across things or situation, or maybe you've met people or known people that it seems like they would never want to serve somebody else. They would always want somebody to be serving them. They maybe feel like they have a sense of entitlement that, you know, they can't serve. They're above that. You know, maybe sometimes it's for different reasons. Maybe they were very successful. Maybe they achieved a lot in business. Maybe they held a high position. Maybe they were involved in politics or business, and they went to the top of a company or to the top, or maybe they were in some position. And then when they get to a place of coming to a church, they feel like, I'm sorry, I'm too big for that. I'd be too important to stoop to a lowly job. Do you understand how much money I make? Do you see the car that I drive? Do you know what I do? I'm sorry, I'm too big and I'm too important to serve. And we're not to be like that. Jesus wasn't like that. I mean, Jesus was the Lord. He was their Master. But he wasn't too big and too important and thought, well, I'm somebody that I can't stoop to serve. No, he served. He was willing to wash the disciples' feet. He was willing to do the lowly job that a servant would do. And what an example he sets for us. All of us are to serve. We're all to serve. We're all to be servants. That's God's desire for us. He said in verse 15, For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verse 16, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Do you know what? It does bring a lot of happiness to serve others, doesn't it? It does bring a lot of happiness and joy to serve others and live for others. The reality is, when people become focused inwardly and start focusing on themselves, boy, that can make us pretty miserable. But when we're feeling miserable, you know what we need to do to make ourselves happy? Go find somebody else to serve. Find somebody else that's needy. You know, sometimes when people have needs in their life and they're all, boo-hoo, boo-hoo, I have so many needs, and I need the way to get rid of the boo-hoo and all the crying and stuff is to go serve somebody else. Go find somebody with a bigger need than we've got. Find somebody with a bigger problem than we've got, and help them and serve them and love them the way that Jesus would. That'll help us tremendously and bring joy to us. There's joy in living for others. I remember as a little kid seeing on the wall in our dining room. I could take you right to the place. I can picture it in my mind, this little cross-stick thing that was on the wall, the J-O-Y, Jesus, Others, You. And I always remember seeing that thing and what that taught us, to live for Jesus first and live for others next and live for yourself last, to put others first, because that's the type of life that Jesus is teaching us to live. Jesus kneeled to wash the disciples' feet. Jesus kneeled to serve. And we too need to kneel to serve others. We need to serve others. Turn with me over to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 3. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 3. The Bible says there, Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. You know, God doesn't like it when there's strife between people, or strife in a home, or strife in a church, or strife. And you know what causes strife? Well, the book of Proverbs says, Only by pride cometh contention. God's word makes it pretty clear, doesn't it? You know what pride is all about? You know what strife is caused by? Becoming proud, or looking at who first? Ourselves. looking to ourselves rather than looking to others. You know, so many times strife in a relationship or strife in a marriage or strife in a church, it could all be solved if somebody would say, well, I'll do what they want. I'll do what they prefer. We'll just do it their way. Strife could be solved. Conflict could be resolved. Things would be okay. Everybody would say, well, I'll serve them. I'll do what they need. I'll do what they want. That could help tremendously. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. In other words, humility of mind. Being willing to kneel and make ourselves lower. That okay, I'll lift them. We can have their way and so on. In lowliness of mind, in humility, let each esteem other better than themselves. Again, that goes against our human sinful selfish nature. If we're totally honest, our sin nature is very selfish. All of us, including me, can be very selfish in our sin nature. My nature wants to put me first. Always. And your nature, super Christian, is the same way. We all have a selfish nature. It's normal. That's the way we are as sinful creatures. We think of ourselves first. But Christ wants us to be the opposite way. Christ always put others first. And he wants us to put others first. Let each esteem other better than themselves. That okay, they're better. I'll serve them. What do they want? How can I help them? He says, verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Again, our tendency is take care of me. That's why in the book of Ephesians 5, where he talks about husbands, and husbands, you need to love your wives, you need to cherish your wives, you need to take care of your wives. He tells us to do it like we would love ourselves. Let me just read it to you real quick. Whereas husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And then he says in verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man yet ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. You know what? It's natural that we'll want to take care of ourselves. You know what? And he tells husbands, you're to love your wife like that. That's when we start esteeming others better than ourselves. That's when we start in honor preferring one another, as Peter, the book of Peter, tells both husband and wives to do. In honor, prefer one another. You know what? That can help tremendously, and we need that kind of behavior and mindset and attitude in our lives. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Continues verse 5. Let this mind be in you. You know, that type of mindset, that type of attitude, that type of spirit of putting others first rather than putting ourselves first, that's the spirit that Jesus had. That's the attitude that Jesus had. That's the type of heart that Jesus had. His attitude was to serve others. His attitude was to humble himself. His attitude was to take care of others. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then goes on and talks about the greatest thing that he did. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Look how Jesus was willing to serve the world. He was willing to leave the glories and splendors of heaven. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And willing to come to a wicked, sinful world. To take on human flesh. To live among sinful people. And willing to give his life on the cross of Calvary. Why? To serve us so that we could be saved. He's kneeled to serve. And God wants us to kneel to serve. That same spirit, that same mind, that same attitude, that same willingness to put others before ourselves. That's the type of spirit that God wants us to have also. We need the same mind of Christ, the same spirit of living for others and putting others first. We need a servant's heart. We need a servant's heart. Turn with me back to the book of Mark, chapter number 10. The Gospel of Mark. In your New Testament, you'll find Matthew and then Mark. Look at chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And I want you to see this story with me in Mark 10, verse 35. Mark chapter 10, verse 35, down to verse 44. The Bible says, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. What do we already see in that verse? Who are they thinking about? Themselves. Jesus, we want you to do for us what we desire. Who are they looking out for first? Themselves. themselves. And then verse 36, and he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? Too many times, that's people's attitude in a lot of things. People's attitude in going to a church. Well, what can that church do for me? What can they do for me? Has anybody ever thought, well, what could I do for that church? We ought to. Once we become a Christian and we're following Christ, it's not just about, well, what can he do for me? If God's not going to do something for me, I don't have much concern for him. Well, God's done already so much for you in letting Jesus Christ die on the cross for you to be saved. It ought to turn around then and say, oh, what can I do for him? What can I do for him? He's already done so much for me. He's already done so much for me. But it says, verse 36, what would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. Oh, in heaven, in the kingdom, could one of us sit on your right hand and one of us sit on your left hand? And we'll like have a really high position there, really, really close to the throne. You know, we want to be in a real prominent position there, you know, in glory and in heaven. He says, verse 38, but Jesus said unto them, ye know not what ye ask. Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of? For Jesus to be exalted and to sit down at the right hand of the Father in heaven, he was going to have to go to the cross of Calvary. You willing to go to the cross? You willing to suffer like Jesus suffered to have the Father exalt you? He said, ye know not what ye ask. Can you drink the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? Verse 39, they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of with the baptism that I am baptized with. Also ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, in other words, the other 10 disciples, apostles, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called to them and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He says, oh, it shouldn't be that way among you. Here you are concerned with strife. These two guys are asking for a real prominent position. Now the other 10, they're all upset about it because they wouldn't want them to have the chief position. You know, they'd like to have a good position too. And there begins to be disagreement and fussing between them. And Jesus said, it's not supposed to be that way among you. The greatest among you will be your servant. The chief among you will be your servant. That's what it means to be the chief. To be the chief means you're supposed to be busy serving everybody. To be the greatest means you're to be busy ministering to everybody else. You're to be the servant. Too many times people think, well, I want greatness. Kids as they're growing up can begin to think, well, that's kind of great to be served. It's great to have a position. Listen, you want to be great in the eyes of God. That means you'll be the great servant. He'll be the servant. God's thinking is opposite many times of the world's thinking. The world wants to put self first and promote self. God says, I want you to put others first. I want you to serve others. Kneel to serve others. Look with me at Matthew chapter 23. We read there in that verse where it said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus Christ didn't come to the earth to be served. He came to serve others. He came to serve others. Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 11. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 11 says this, but he that is greatest among you shall be your what? Your servant. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Your servant. Verse 12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. You know what? God wants us to have that same humility that Jesus Christ did that says, I will humble myself. I will in honor prefer one another. I will put others first. I won't just seek myself. I'll seek others. I'll seek others, as Philippians taught us to do. Look not every man on his own self or on his own things, but look every man on the things of others. Be willing to put others first. Be willing to serve. Be willing to have a lowly position. Again, sometimes people think, well, I can't have any position unless it's the top position, unless it's a high position, unless it's a position that suits me. Well, why don't we just serve and let God choose to maybe lift us to a different position if He thinks that's what we're qualified for? Because you know what? If you do have God lift you up to a greater position, you know what God's going to tell you? Oh, I'm giving you a greater responsibility now to be a greater servant. We're going to prove ourselves by being humble and by serving others. And if God thinks, oh, you're doing a pretty good job there, He might give you a greater position where you have greater opportunity to serve. And your life is to be about serving others and putting others first, and maybe more people to serve and so on. Oh, let's not have the world's thinking. Let's learn to think like Jesus Christ and to put others first. We're not to strive for a name or for a position. We're to strive to serve one another. We're not to strive to be the greatest. We're to strive to be a servant. To be a servant. Can I say tonight, thank you for serving in our church. Thank you for serving the Lord. And thank you for serving others. It's a great blessing to the Lord. Do you know it pleases God when you serve Him? It pleases God when you serve other people. I thank God for the servant's heart of people in our church. I'm so pleased and delighted when people do things and try to serve others and try to help others and try to be a blessing to others. When ladies cook some meals for a new mother, when people go and visit some seniors that are sick or shut in, when somebody goes to visit at a nursing home or to visit someone in the hospital, that's serving others. When people come faithfully on a Saturday and everybody's busy and everybody has things to do, but when people come and they set up the church on a Saturday and they take the time to do that and nobody really sees it and they're busy preparing so that everybody else can enjoy something on a Sunday, you know what they're doing? They're serving others as they serve the Lord. Oh, in our church, when people have to stay on a Sunday night and clean, we have to set up a building, clean a building, and people come, and we understand that some people come to more services than others, and some attend more faithfully than others, and sometimes I think they really don't have a clue how much goes into it, and how much preparation is done, and how much later people will be cleaning up, and so on. Yeah, you know, and I know there are times when there'll be some people here and on a Sunday night cleaning, and they're here for a long, long time. You know what? They do that to serve the Lord. They do that to serve others. That's why you serve. That's why we serve. And I think the Lord is pleased when He sees you serving others. When people set up the church, when people clean the church building, when people serve in the church nursery, when people help to care for the little children who Jesus loves, you know what? They're doing that to serve others and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for serving. Thank you for serving. Do you know that every Sunday night some ladies have to go I don't think I've ever had to do it in this building. Maybe just very, very, very rarely. Once or twice. But every Sunday night there's some ladies who love Jesus enough and they come to church and they end up going and cleaning all the bathrooms, cleaning all the toilets, cleaning all the mirrors, cleaning everything. People spend a long amount of time here mopping and cleaning and doing different things. You know why we do that? We do it because we love the Lord. We want to serve the Lord. We want to serve others. I'm thankful for that. Your work that you do for the Lord and your labor for Him doesn't go unnoticed or unappreciated by me. But even more importantly, I don't think it goes underappreciated by the Lord. The Lord sees it, and I think the Lord appreciates it when He sees you work together and serve the Lord like that. Thank you for serving in the nursery. Thank you for changing those stinky diapers. Thank you for caring for babies when they're fine and they're sleeping and everything's good, and when they're crying and they're fussy and they really want their mommy to hurry up and get out of there. Thank you. Oh, thank you for being faithful. And when the preacher's long-winded and the kids are getting antsy and the service goes kind of long and you take care of the kids, thank you for that. Oh, nursery workers are a great blessing. Some of the greatest servants in the church. Thank you. Thank you for the ways that you serve. Thank you for singing for the Lord. Thank you for serving the Lord. Let's not lose that servant's heart. That's what makes us distinctively like Christ, serving others, putting others first. One of the greatest attributes of the Christian life is living for others. There was a great violinist by the name of, I can't even pronounce it, Niccolo Paganini, something like that. He was born in Italy, Genoa, Italy, in 1782. He died on May 27th, 1840. And when he died, he stated in his will that he wanted his marvelous violin to be left to the city of Genoa on the one condition that it must never be played. The wood of such an instrument is of a very fine violin. When it's being used and when it's handled, it wears only slightly. But when the violin is set aside and not used, it begins to decay. And as a result, Paganini's lovely and beautiful violin was put on a display in a museum, and it soon decayed and became eaten by worms, and the violin became very useless, except for just a relic, an ugly-looking relic. You know what? A Christian's unwillingness to serve may soon destroy his capacity for usefulness. Christians are not to be, you know, something that sits up on a display and looks pretty. Christians are to have a life that is useful to the Lord. We're to be useful to the Lord. We're to be busy serving the Lord. We're to be busy serving others. A Christian's life is to be about serving Christ, serving others, living for the Lord and living for others. We will soon decay if we're not serving. Ask God to give you a servant's heart. Thank God for those around you that you know evidence a servant's heart. And let's keep serving. Be a serving church. There's always a need for servants. There's not a need for many high positions, but there's really a need for servants. There's always a need for people that can clean some trash off the floor, or sweep a floor, or mop a floor, or clean a toilet, or serve in the nursery, or teach a Sunday school class to a bunch of little boys or girls. Well, it's not maybe as high and mighty a position as, you know, being up somewhere in some position. No, teaching the children, you read the Bible, Jesus says that's one of the greatest things you can do. You take those children and you love them and bring them unto you. Jesus says, it's like you're loving me. Oh, to teach a bunch of children in a class, serve in a nursery, to do lowly jobs where we have to humble ourselves and maybe do something that maybe is a bit of an inconvenience, that shows humility. That shows a servant's heart. And that pleases the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be useful to the Lord. If we're going to be useful to the Lord, it's not, hey, look at me, God! I can do all this, God! Look at me! There's got to be a big place for me. God says, okay. Could you come to church 30 minutes early in the winter time? And could you shovel the sidewalks around the church? And then when some seniors come, you can help them from their car and make sure they make it in the building safely. That's a big job. Oh, sorry, God. I wanted a more important job. I can't do that. I'm sorry, I don't have time for that, God. I'm sorry, you know, I just got up and I might forget and rush to church in my slippers if I do that. No. No, you know what? God's looking for servants. Servants. Servants will do any job. And that pleases the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you'd help us to have a servant's heart like your Son did. Your Son was willing to serve. Your Son was willing to give of Himself. Your Son was willing to humble Himself.